Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher. We just invite your help and your presence, Lord, to come and speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord, that when you teach us, we can remember it and retain what we need to retain. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come now. Ask you to help me. Ask you to speak through me and despite me. And just bless people and feed people and show us who you are, Lord. Lord, we pray that faith would arise in our hearts, that you would use us and you would work through us to see great things happen. And Lord, just deliver us from all unbelief and fear. And you know where we are, Lord, and thank you that faith comes by hearing. So as we're hearing, Lord, just raise our faith. Just give us a gift of faith. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just one other thing is we have got some notes for you for this, for these talks. It's quite a few scriptures. So if you don't want to take notes, that's fine, because you'll be getting some next week. We just didn't have time to print them off for this week. So there's notes with all these scriptures coming to you next week, if that helps you. Okay, I think the practicalities of healing, do you know what? They're all rooted in what we've already learned, actually, the Holy Spirit and faith. It's to do with hearing the Holy Spirit and being so filled with the Holy Spirit that you have the boldness to go to someone and take on the illness that you see on them. And you have the discernment and the wisdom, someone prayed now as well, the wisdom and discernment to know when to do that and how to do that. It's really as simple as that. The activation for seeing people healed is literally just doing it, you know, copying. Just getting a model you can follow. And we'll do a few models next week of how you... We'll get a few people up and model how you'd pray for someone. And then just copying that, you know, putting that into practice and then just seeing God do something. The first person I ever saw healed was a massive healing, actually. When I think about it, this guy had metal plates in his back that disintegrated when I prayed for him. And I knew absolutely nothing about healing. I hardly knew anything about the Bible. I had only been a Christian a little while. And I was totally, some of you know this story, I was totally copying what I'd just seen in another meeting. Because I was a bit, you know, wanting to have a go and probably full of myself, I don't know. I don't know how I dared do it, but I did. And I'd been to a meeting with Margaret in Richmond, prayer meeting. We were only young, like 19. A charismatic prayer meeting. And we were sort of new to it. Someone took us there. And there's just a group of people in the front room, maybe 20 people. And there was a nun there. Some of you know this story. And there was gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest in the room, which I didn't know anything about them. They're just exciting to watch. Someone said, oh, I believe there's someone here who's got a problem with their ear. And the left ear. And I thought, whoa. And then someone on the other side of the room said, yeah, I can confirm that. I've just had a shooting pain in my left ear. And I thought, whoa, phew, that's impressive. And then this nun said, oh, it's me. I'm deaf in my left ear. And she said, I've been deaf all my life. And that would have been enough for me. Like, I was massively impressed. Just the revelation. People could hear God, the Holy Spirit, like that. Flipping it, that's brilliant. No doubt we're all going to go home and pray for her. Add her onto our prayer list. But this guy just had massive faith and said, oh, well, the Lord must want to heal you. And he went and got a chair and put it in the middle of the room and said, come and sit here, come and sit here. And we'll pray for you. You know, we were sort of Catholic charismatic, so having a nun in the meeting wasn't that weird for us, to be honest. And she came and sat in this chair. And this guy prayed for him, said, the name of Jesus, we just speak to the sea, command it to open. And, you know, and she went, oh, that's it. I can hear. And I was like off my chair, you know, I couldn't believe it. I thought, what is this? This is amazing. This is what I've just been reading about in Acts of the Apostles, you know. And then she told the story about when she was a young girl. A brother had filled a syringe with water and put it in her ear while she was asleep and banged it and totally destroyed her eardrum. And she'd been deaf all these years. I mean, this was a nun in her 50s. So, like, the lie and the con factor for me was very small. To be honest, if it had been anyone else, I'd have been very suspicious. I couldn't help it. I'm British, you know. And I just think, do you know them? Who are you? But because it was a nun, I thought, nuns don't lie. Well, I mean, maybe they do, but I thought, don't think nuns would lie. Why would she lie? And so I just thought, that is a definite miracle. A couple of months or weeks later, I was... you probably know me and Margaret were in a monastery in a convent at one point. Do you know that? I went in a convent. She was in a monastery. When we brought up Catholics, you know, we were seriously thinking, when we became Christians, before we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we want to serve God. And if you're Catholic, the way to really serve God is to become a priest or a monk or a nun. That's it. So we'd been going out with each other for a while, and we really felt it wasn't right to get married. We should separate. So we separated. It was really hard. She went in a convent. In the selection process of going into the convent and this monastery in North Wales, I went. The selection process takes a little while. Takes, you know, like a year of chatting and interviews and things. We were praying and going in there. In the meantime, we sort of got born again, met these Catholic charismatics, and were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then all this stuff was going on. It was like, whoa! Should we go in the monastery in the convent? What is this? What is this? But then it was time to go. So we thought, well, you know, we should, you know. So we did. And she went in the convent. And she can tell her own story. But she had a little mini revival in the convent. She started prayer meetings. All the nuns got the gift of tongues. People got healed and stuff. And something similar happened for me. I went to this monastery in North Wales. And one of the first weeks I was there, they said, anyone who believes in prayer meetings and things, I thought, that's me. And the Holy Spirit and things, that's me. You can go over the road to the house of Bishop Langton Fox. He has a charismatic prayer meeting in his house. Because that's how monks speak. And I thought, flip it. Well, I thought, you know, yes. But that's me. I didn't wear anything because he didn't get stuff like that till you were in for a while. But I thought, you know, I was just in jeans and a t-shirt. But I thought, yeah, I'm going to go to awesome the bishop's house. So I went across the road to the bishop's house. And I thought, I'm going to massively impress them. I'm going to copy this guy that I saw in Richmond. And that is honestly what I did. And I exactly did it. I thought, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to believe that I get something. So I listened. I'd never done it before. And I was sort of making it up. And I thought, someone with a bad back. Yeah, back. And I thought, oh, everyone's got a bad back. You've got to be a bit more specific. And I thought, well, you know, you've just come out of hospital. That'll be a good one. And you just got out of hospital 2 months ago, and you're still in a lot of pain. Whew, that's as much as I dare do. So I sort of took a deep breath. I tell you, standing here tonight, I can't believe I did it. My age and what I didn't know and everything. I was bluffing. And I just said, I believe there's someone here. You know, I've sensed people looking at me. You know, I thought, oh, who's this new guy? Wacko, here we go. And I said, there's someone here, bad back. Just come out of hospital 2 months. And he's still in a lot of pain. And I went quiet, and this guy said, and I opened my eyes, looked around, everyone was looking at me. Apart from this woman who was nudging her husband like that, it's you, it's you. I said, yeah, I think that's me. And I don't think these guys were used to words of knowledge or anything, so I thought, I'm... And the bishop was there. And in a moment of madness and boldness, or big-headedness, I don't know, I stood up, and I got my chair. I was just copying... And this was the guy who was supernaturally healed. He came forward, we prayed for him, and I just copied the guy in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit in your back to go. He didn't tell us any history of it, didn't know about steel plates operations, anything like that. Prayed for him, command the spirit to go, amen. And I thought, what happened then? Oh yeah, the nun got healed, and she said, and he didn't say anything. I thought, oops. It went really quiet, I got really red. I stepped back, fell over a stage, nodding, and I put my chair back and sort of sat on it, and everyone went back to normal little prayer meeting mode. And then it finished, we had tea and coffee. I tell you, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. I was so embarrassed. I thought, I'm never, ever going to do anything like that again. What an idiot. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? And then about a week later, this report comes back. Oh, there's new... Some of them said, there's a saint in the monastery. A miracle has occurred. This guy, apparently he had plates in his back, went back for the pain left him, but he didn't say. You know, he wasn't like copying any, he had no pattern to say I'm healed. He just thought, woo, pain's left me. Didn't say anything. Had a cup of tea, didn't say anything. Went home, didn't say anything. Went to the doctors, another x-ray, two sets of x-rays, one with plates, one with no plates. Totally healed. Is that awesome? That's what you can do through just bluffing. So I'd encourage you just to bluff. I'd seriously encourage you, though, to copy. That's what I see a model of anyone anywhere that I like. I think that's biblical, that's bold, that's great. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be Reinhard Bonnke, or I'm going to be Duncan. Or I'm going to be, when Duncan gave me his jacket, I thought, I'll just see if it works. And he fell over. It was awesome. And you know what? Any model that you think, I can do that, I'm talking about healing and signs and wonders, miracles, words and knowledge now, I would seriously encourage you just to do it. Saying that, obviously over the years, and reading the Bible and that, you learn more about healing and stuff. With the help of the Holy Spirit, that won't affect you in a negative way. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, knowledge can be a very big problem to you. The more you think you know, that simple faith and that daring and that have a go that God loves, you lose that. And you start having all sorts of theological reasons why people don't get healed, what is appropriate. What... Forget that. We need to be simple, bold, and just do it. Just pray for people who are sick. And if you commit yourself to do that this month, stuff will happen. That's what I think. When I come here on a Sunday, I mean, it's easy for me because it's easier for me because I'm sort of the leader in something, so I sense I have a little bit of authority with people. But I would encourage you guys to do the same. Any guests who tell you they're sick, just pray for them straight away. I just start praying while I'm talking to them, and they realise I'm praying and start. You know, I did it to a guy over there at the door. There's a woman and a man guest come in first time. Da-da-da-da. Oh yeah, because he's got epilepsy. And he's got, oh, yeah, he's on tablets for epilepsy, and he, yeah, yeah, it's a bit. I went, oh, yeah, yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, and he went, yeah, yeah. In the name of Jesus, I just pray this epilepsy would go. He would never have epilepsy again, anymore, since the day he came in this place. Amen, amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, so where are you guys from? You can actually get to the point where you just do that, just pray for them. Just pray for them. You don't even have to ask. It doesn't matter if they come forward or not. Sickness is our enemy. We've got authority over it. We can just do it. And you can get it to a place, but you know what? It's easy in church. We're sitting in our group. It's different in Tesco, isn't it? Margaret's much better than... It's really? Is this your... Sorry. It's harder in Tesco. It's for me. We were saying, some of the guys were just admitting that we go around Tesco, you know, you're just not dragging your heels. Are we done? Are we done? Are we done? Or are you just shopping? You know, oh, just get it and get out. Where, you know, that might be just guys. I don't know. This might be wrong. But, you know, often Margaret sees people who are ill and she'll dare to stop and talk to them, pray for them. And I think, oh, I didn't even see him, you know. Did you see that woman? What woman? You know, I've seen how much the peas are, you know. And it's like having been tuned into or not tuned into just opportunities for God. It's as simple as that on that level. But let me just show you in half an hour how quick, how biblical all this is. First of all, our Father in heaven is the healing God. Here's what's happened in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. God declares himself to be the Lord who heals us. They've just come over the Red Sea. They've literally just been through the Red Sea. It's parted. They come out. They do the dance. Miriam prays her prayer. They're all delighted. The next day, they're walking in the desert. They get thirsty. They have no water. They start to moan a bit. Moses says to God, what shall I do? God says, look, there's some water here. Throw a stick in the water. It's bitter, but I'll make it sweet. He does a miracle. He throws the stick into the water and it becomes sweet. And there the Lord made a decree and a law for them. And he said to them, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, the I am who I am, who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. He reveals himself as the God who heals you. God had used... is that for me? Yeah. For you? Thank you. God reveals himself as the God who heals. And the people of Israel had seen God use illness against his enemies, which is interesting. He used illness against the Egyptians. He lets boils come on them. He uses, you know, illness and judgment and death. And then they're all rejoicing in their deliverance. And God says to them, look, if you walk with me, if you knock around with me, I'll keep all those diseases, oops, off you. And I'll, because I am the Lord who heals you. This is something I often say. You know, walking in divine health is just continually getting healed. It's because walking with God. Why? Because that's who God is. Our dad is a healer. Our Father in heaven, I am. He's revealed himself to them. It's one of the first things he says to them in the wilderness. The sea's open, the sea's closed. This is who I am. I'm the Lord who heals you. I'll keep you well in the wilderness. You're not going to get ill. If you follow me, walk with me, I'm going to keep illness off you. Some of us get healed all the time without even realizing it. We're healing our kids just by serving God. Do you know that? We're protecting our kids and ourselves and our families from sickness and illness just by walking with God. Because God's a healing God and he keeps that stuff off you. That's who the Father is. And then there's the Father's a healer. The Son is a healer, as I'm sure you know. It says Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. These glasses are absolutely useless. I put them on and they're even more blurred. Healing every disease and sickness among the people. Every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread through all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, all around the region followed him. Large crowds following him, and he just healed them, healed them, healed them. Severe pain, demon possessed, it didn't matter. Couldn't walk, it didn't matter. Epileptic fits, didn't matter. He healed them. Jesus is a healer. Everywhere you open the Gospels, you see Jesus is a healer. And if we speak of him as a healer, he heals. If you preach him as the healing Jesus, people get healed. That's the truth. Because that's who he is. You're revealing who he is. If you preach Jesus as a savior, people get saved. Preach Jesus as a healer, people get healed. Preach him as a savior and a healer, people get saved and healed. It's the truth. If you preach Jesus as a savior and not a healer, people get saved and not healed. It's the truth. But you want to preach the full Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 5. I've got all these little bits of paper with numbers in. Don't know if it's going to work, but it might make me a bit quicker. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says this. One day, as he was teaching, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who'd come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there with him. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? He's Jesus in a house. His enemies are all around him. And Luke says, the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Jesus healed the sick through the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Healing is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus heals, the Holy Spirit heals. And we'll give you some more scriptures next week to can show you that and back that. Okay. He's healing and a few different things. Just a little hop, skip and a jump through. I've already alluded to this, but it's worth reading. Healing and judgment. In other words, God uses sickness as a weapon. Sometimes he does. He is 1 Samuel 5, verse 6. The Lord's hand was very heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity, and he brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. When the men of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is heavy upon us and upon Dagon, our God. So they called together all the rulers and said, what should we do? And they got a little idea and they sent the ark back. They'd stolen the ark from Israel and they brought it into their own city. What was happening was they were all getting cancer, or whatever it was, tumours. Everyone's getting tumours. Oh, hang on a minute, this is a mistake. Let's get rid of the ark. We can't have the presence of God with us. Because if you're in darkness and in sin, you don't want to be close to the presence of God. It's not good for you. You only want to be with God if you're doing right. Otherwise, it's going to cause problems. And so there's healing and judgment. In other words, healing, sickness can be a form of judgment from God. It can be. It isn't always, but it can be. There are three types of judgment, basically. One, there's just sort of a sowing and reaping judgment. There's judgment in the basic fabric of creation. A man sows what he reaps. God is not mocked. So in other words, if you live a certain way, you'll reap certain things. Actually, you know what? You're just doing it to yourself. You reap trouble. You reap trouble in your family, trouble in life, trouble in relationships. Is God judging you? Well, sort of, but you're judging yourself. You're bringing it on yourself through your own sinful, selfish, foolish actions. The fool has a lot of trouble in his life, but he does it himself. Is it a form of judgment? Yeah, it's written into the moral fibre of the universe that if you do evil, evil will come upon you. That's the truth. It's a form of judgment. There's another form of judgment, which is like, I call it imminent, not imminent, what's the word? Where God intervenes. God intervenes in judgment. He says, that's enough. You, pal, are dead. Oh, that is enough. That city, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. The sins have heaped up to heaven. I'll come down and just check it out. And that's how merciful God is. I'll just come down, just see how sinful you really are. See if what I've heard is true. It is. That is enough. Enough. God does that with civilizations. There's no Roman Empire. There's no Babylonian Empire. There's no Greek Empire. Because civilizations get to a certain amount of evil and God just wipes them out. He wipes them out. And he humbles, he brings down and he raises up. And that's imminent judgment. And then there's ultimate judgment. When God comes at the end of time, with the day of judgment, where God will right every wrong, everyone up, and everyone gets the just reward for what they've done. That's the ultimate day of judgment. This sowing and reaping judgment, illness is involved in that. You can live a certain way of life that's sinful and evil and get ill because of it, which is a fact. And also, God can step in and judge you. Sometimes it's removing his protection of healing and blessing on your life. Sometimes it's just letting you get ill. Interesting and worth throwing in the mix. Healing and sin, is there a connection there? Well, there is. You know, in one sense, you can go over the top with this. You've got to be careful with it because the apostles, you know, the disciples said to Jesus once they saw a blind man, and they just instantly equated that with sin. They said, you know, who sinned, Lord, this man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned that he was born blind. It's not that clear cut, but this man's blind because he's going to display the glory of God as he gets healed. It's interesting, Jesus saw his sickness as an opportunity for the glory of God. This sickness, it's an opportunity for the glory of God. Never mind who sinned. Don't you guys be too quick to point the finger about who said, oh, this is sin in your life. Don't worry about that. Look, this is an opportunity for the glory of God. Heal him. Let's get him healed. It'll be glory to God, whatever, wherever this has come from. But there is a connection between sin and I'm just going to grab this because it's going to help me be faster. Yeah, there it is. There is a connection between sin and sickness. Sometimes later, Jesus was up at Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One was there, who'd been lying there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been here for a long time in this condition, he said to him, do you want to get well? Sir, the man replied, I have no one to help me when the pool is stirred up and the water moves. And while I'm trying to get down into the pool, someone else goes down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was healed. He picked up his mat and he walked. Okay, the day he did that was a Sabbath. The Pharisees weren't happy. Someone said to him, why are you carrying your mat on the Sabbath? I mean, it's pathetic. And he says to them, well, the man who healed me told me to carry my mat. Can you see the religion here, the ridiculousness of religion? The man's healed, and they just bothered about him carrying his mat on the Sabbath because it was against the law. And they said, who healed you? And the man said, I don't know. It's also interesting. Jesus doesn't heal to get himself glory, does he? It's not like, you know, some of these modern TV evangelists that you see these days who, you know, it's about them. I was the one who laid hands on them. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's God's power. It's God's glory. It's Jesus' name. It's nothing to do with you in one sense. You're just the vessel that God uses. It's a privilege to be used. Jesus healed him. Didn't even say who he was. Just went off. He didn't even know who he was. Who healed me? I don't know. Some guy came up and said, pick up your mat and walk. I got up and picked up my walk. And by the time I turned around, he'd gone. It's interesting, isn't it? Anyway, later it says, verse 14, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. It's interesting. Connection between sin and what's happened to him. Stop it, or something worse will happen to you. Interesting. Sometimes sin is can make those around us ill, can make us ill. The more we repent and let God cleanse our lives, the healthier, even physically, we will be. Some of you were here on Thursday night. I told you the story of this guy who was a Freemason. He became a Christian. He repented of being a Freemason. It's very occultic, the Freemason stuff. But his wife was ill. She'd been ill for years. She was still ill. Sunken cheeks. Looked like she was dying. She was really, really poorly. And someone was praying for him about his wife. And they said, you know what's connected to Freemasonry? He said, well, I've repented of all that. And they said, have you got rid of all your stuff? He said, no, it's in the garage. I've got a box of stuff with all my regalia and all my medals and badges and all that. It's in the glove. They said, burn it. He burned it. His wife's healed instantly. There's a connection between sin and evil and those around us even, not even ourselves. Sometimes it jumps. But you're opening the door through sin to sickness. So that's why it's so important people get saved as well as healed. If they just get healed, they'll probably get sick again. If they just get healed, they'll just get something worse happen to them later. Jesus said, I'll cast the demon out of you if you want, but 7 others will come back later. You need to be saved and forgiven and cleansed. And then we're cooking. Then we'll see people healed and saved here. And they'll continually, you know, they'll get better and they'll walk in health and so on. The link between healing and deliverance. Sometimes healing, you know, is just a demon. Sorry, are you being patient with my dyslexic terribleness of numbers? Do you know what's made it worse? I've written a lot of numbers on these bits of paper. And then I'm looking at numbers there. I could just quote these scriptures to you from my head, but I just want to, which is what I usually do when I preach, don't I? But I want to read them to you because I think it's pretty important sometimes that you know I'm not making them up. Healing and deliverance, Luke 13, verse 16. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and there's a woman there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, woman, you're set free from your infirmity. He put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God, angry because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue ruler says to the people, there are 6 days for work. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Religion. And the Lord answered him, you hypocrite. Doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath take his donkey or ox and lead it out to give it some water. Should not then this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from what bound her on the Sabbath? It's interesting. Not she's got scoliosis. Not, well, it's old age. Not Satan. And as soon as Satan's off, she's released. Some healing is just demonic. And that's they're the quickest, they're the easiest to get people healed. Because it's just a spirit, you cast the spirit out. You know, I was preaching at Paul's church, or Paul's old church. You come in, haven't you? Yeah, okay. It's Paul and Stella's home church in Billingham. And there was a lady there who'd been in there. Some of you know the story. Sorry when I repeat these stories, but I've only got a few true ones. There was a woman who was a nurse. She'd been a nurse. She'd been in pain for 20 years. She had pain in her back. And she came forward. And I closed my eyes and I saw in my mind's eye like a sword going down her back. A sword. And I saw the top of the sword sticking out of her head. So I thought, oh, I'll just get hold of it. And so I closed, you know, just invisibly. So I've got hold of it. She didn't know. And I just pulled this sword out, and as I pulled it out, in my mind's eye, I saw it go all like wobbly, like a snake. And as I did that, I opened my eyes, and I saw her go, whoa, like a snake. She went, oh, the pain's gone, the pain's gone. I said, how long have you had pain? She said, 20 years I've been in pain. I'm a nurse, my back's terrible. And her partner or husband, whoever it was there, shocked and stuff. And I said, when did you get this? You know, when did this start? She said, oh, when I was a young nurse, I used to feel such compassion for people in agony. I used to pray that their pain would come into me and say, oh, let me take the pain for them, which is a very foolish thing to do because obviously it did. It was a spirit. She had pain in her back for 20 years, released it a moment because it was a spirit. So there's healing and judgment, healing and sin, healing and deliverance, healing and faith. Is a biggie. So you know the connection. Faith's a massive key. If someone's going to get healed here or anywhere in your life, faith's going to be there somewhere, either in them or in you or in the room. And frankly, it doesn't really matter. It can be in the room, meaning there can just be an atmosphere of faith. When the Holy Spirit's moving and a lot of people are getting healed and testifying, faith rises in the room and people can just get healed like popcorn all over the room. I've seen it happen many, many, many times. But there has to be an atmosphere of expectancy and faith. You feel how expectancy changes the atmosphere. Do you remember that Wednesday night, Duncan and Kate were here? That's the same room, you know. We're in the same room every Sunday. And it's the same Jesus and the same Holy Spirit. But I tell you, we were all buzzing and excited because Duncan and Kate were here. And it's like an expectancy does that. And you know what? That's not a negative thing. Like, oh, let's all have that expectancy every week. What I'm saying is, no, ride those expectancy waves and milk them. When you get someone new in, it's exciting. You know, I've had years and years of traveling around being the guy who was exciting coming. And you see all sorts of things happen. It's absolutely brilliant if there's expectancy. We've been praying for you to come. We've been waiting for you to come. Come, whoever you are. And poof. Now, are they really as awesome as that? I don't know, maybe, but probably not. Probably it's expectancy. And faith, that's what that does. You know, we're having a special meeting. We're going to pray. We're going to believe. We've invited these people. We all come expecting. Guess what happens? We all receive. Poof, bang, miracles. Whoa, Holy Spirit. Now, God's the same. But when there's a lack of expectancy, it's absolutely terrible. Mark 6, verse 5. I'm going to stop looking at them because I just can't do it any longer. It's this. Basically, Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. He's one of the faith killers. Familiarity. Oh, it's just Jesus. We know Jesus. It actually says there that he could do no great miracles there. It's fascinating. I mean, he's doing all these miracles. He's doing everything. Who can stop him? Actually, unbelief can. Jesus goes to his hometown where he's been brought up. And it said they were amazed at his preaching. Where did he get this? Amazed at his speaking. Who taught him his letters? Who taught him to read? Who taught him to write? What's happened to this guy? We know this guy. And then they start getting cynical. The British, these people in Nazareth. They start saying, we know his brother. I went to school with his lad. It's just Jesus. And he was dad. He was making doors when I was... And you just got to be aware of all that, haven't you? That's called familiarity. So it breeds contempt. You know, And just as expectancy does the opposite of this, familiarity brings faith right down to zero. Ah, it's just Martin. What are you seeing him? You got to watch it. Or, can Martin pray for me? Because I believe when he prays for me, I'll get healed. Do you know what? It's not about ego. I don't mind that if someone gets healed. I'm not bothered. Let him get healed. Whatever's on the faith ticket, let's use that ticket for me. Do you know what I mean? Or can I have one of the prayer team pray for me? Or do you want the man of God or the woman of God? Frankly, if you need to be healed, just get healed. Ride on the ticket that's got most faith for you. And you can get other people to pray for you. Of course you can. That's fine. That's humility. Sometimes you don't need humility. You need healing. You need a bang. You need miracle. So whatever you've got faith for, that's why, you know, when new people come, get them to pray for you. That's why, you know, when Duncan and Kate were even on the first night, I was trying to get as many of you as possible. Come here, have you met Duncan and Kate? Come here. Because you want to milk it. You know, whether it's expectancy, faith, someone new. If we're doing something new, there's an expectancy. Even a baptism service. It's like a little bit, whoop. Everyone's expecting, what? Not exactly sure, but there's champagne bottles of Holy Spirit popping everywhere. And that's faith in the room. And familiarity, the opposite of it. So be aware of that. Don't let yourself become too familiar. Let the awesomeness of God be real to you. Every time we gather together, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Then you become like a faith community. You're just expecting people to get saved. People get saved here every single Sunday. Every Sunday people are getting saved. Every Sunday people are getting healed already. When we started Sunday nights. Guests are coming, people are coming. Something's happening. Ride that wave of expectancy and faith. Get involved in it and get healing people and ministering and doing miracles and bringing words and prophecies and witnessing to people and bringing people to the Lord. Faith and expectancy, very important. When the apostles saw that man at Gate Beautiful, he was just not expecting anything. So they said, look at us. And he looked at them expecting to get something for them. That expectancy was their faith ticket. That'll do. Get up, you're healed. They had to get him up to that. Can you see that? They had to get him up. It was like plugging it in. Look at us. And sometimes you need to do that with people. You know, do you believe you're going to get healed? I really believe you're going to get healed. Do you? Not really. Well, look at me. I really believe you're going to get healed. Oh, maybe I am. Bang. Faith really matters. It's a real thing. Maybe I am. Yeah, maybe you are. Bang. Faith releases the power of the kingdom. That's what happens. Paul was preaching in Acts 14, verse 19. He sees this guy in the crowd. He just saw that he had faith to be healed. In the middle of his preach, he saw it. You can see faith in people. You can. You can see people who have faith to be healed and stuff. You know, if you want to see some action, go to them. See some people buzzing and into God. You know, well, go and pray for them first. You know, if you see them, they're meeting God already. Well, that's a winner. Back the winner. You can pray for the person who's depressed over here later. But if you want a bit of encouragement, you want to see some action, get over to that person who's already, yeah, there's a wave coming, catch it. Let me lay my hands on that faith and just finish it off. And boom, people get healed and miracles happen. It's awesome. It's what we're here for. It's what Jesus did. That's part of our family. It's what our dad does. It's what our Holy Spirit does. It's what Jesus does. It's what we do. Or you can just be a Christian attending. I wonder what's going to happen today. No, I wonder what I'm going to do today. I wonder what God's going to use me for today. That's faith. The importance of faith. Desire. You draw faith out of people as well. Jesus said often to people, do you want to be healed? What do you want? You can do that when you minister to people. You're down here praying for people at the front. Draw faith out of them. Do you want to be healed? What would you love to happen? Well, what I'd love to happen is this, but it's impossible. Well, God says nothing's impossible for me. Well, it's really hard. Yeah, but God says nothing's hard for me. We're talking about God here. We're just bringing God into the equation. God and anything. God and anything. So what would you like to happen? What would you need to happen? What would you be dream? Pull them up into faith as you're praying for them. And do an interview with them before you pray for them. If you feel like there's no faith, try and call them up into it. Jesus often said to people, what do you want, didn't he? Walking through that Jericho, Bartimaeus. I mean, that's the most amazing of all for me. So walking through Jericho, this guy's blind. Jesus, have mercy on me. So he's already sort of clued in. He's wanting something. He's crying out to Jesus. He hears him, stops, says, bring that man to me. They're telling him to shut up. He won't shut up. He's like, but even so, Jesus just helps him get over that last little bit of for this blindness miracle to happen. Calls faith out of him. But here he is. Right, I'm here. What do you want? It's interesting, isn't it? Faith is often to do with what we say. Jesus calls you out of them. Go on, say it. What do you want? I want to see. If you want to be healed, start saying it. Lord, I want, or whatever the miracle is you want this month. You get in prayer and you pray. And get out and get loud, praying loud. God likes loud. Jesus prayed loud. That's what it says in Hebrews. It says that during the days of his life on earth, Jesus offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to him who could save him from death. There's a little insight into Jesus' prayer life. It was loud. It involved tears. That's how to pray. Loud. You need to get someone on your own. Some of you need to get up the hills. You need to go for a walk. You need to get in the countryside. You need to get where there aren't any people, even walking dogs. Get on the beach and get loud with God. Get in your car and drive where no one's hearing you. And cry out to God who wants to hear you from the bottom of your heart. And you'll see a change. Jesus did. He prayed like that. Loud tears. It's not just, dear Lord. He didn't pray like that. It was from the heart. Jesus called that same cry out of people when he wanted them healed. What do you want? What do you want? I want to be. Jesus loved that. People fall at his feet. Please heal my daughter. She's healed. Go home. Come and heal my daughter. He's dying. Right, I'm coming with you. No, don't worry about them. She's already dead. Don't worry about that. You've cried out to me. I've heard you were going to go and do it. Can you feel faith? Faith. That's how healing works, miracles. You need that faith factor moving all the time. And it has to be real faith as well. You know, just volume isn't necessarily faith. Do you know what I mean? Faith comes from hearing the Holy Spirit, hearing God. I'm talking about faith in you now. Hearing the Holy Spirit, hearing God, calling faith out of them, letting your faith meet together in the middle and seeing a miracle happen. Sometimes you don't just volume or doesn't quite do it. I remember reading once in the bath. I was lying in the bath reading about how Smith Wigglesworth got healed of his piles. Smith Wigglesworth had piles and at one time in his life. And one day he just said, oh, he got a whole bottle of oil and poured it over his own head and shouted, enough, Lord! And at that point in my life, I had some piles. Sorry if this is too... I had some piles and I was lying in the bath. I thought, that's it! And I saw this bottle of oil on the side, and I stood it in the bath, opened it off, poured it over, and I shouted, enough! Margaret came and she said, what are you doing? I said, I've been reading Smith Wigglesworth. She said, are you healed? I said, no, but my hair's beautiful. So you've got to have real faith. Just volume doesn't necessarily do it. But you know what? You can still have a go. You might have got healed, mightn't I? I did get healed later. I thought I'd better say that. Anyway, perseverance as well. Faith will not accept what's seen. Now, you don't have to be bolchy with people. I'll end with this because it's getting late. You don't have to be bolchy with people, i.e., no, you're healed. You know, I mean, it's Pentecostal hogwash. It is. Don't go down that line. Be real, be gentle, but be full of faith. There is a way. And I'd like you to minister this way. Not to be, you know, whatever you think, you're healed. No, I'm healed. God tells me I'm healed. Well, to me, you're limp in love, you know. Can we have a bit of reality? You're in agony, you know, you're not healed yet. I get your faith in one sense. But that's not faith. Calling something that isn't, that's not faith. So when you're praying for someone, I'm not saying to you, tell them they're healed when they're not. You're healed. We've prayed. You just believe it. That's like laying a burden on someone that's unreal. They go out there thinking, because of my unbelief, I'm still in pain. No, that's nasty. Don't do that. Do it the other way. Have the challenge in you. I mean, I can stand with someone sometimes in absolute faith they're going to be well. But, you know, make myself gently encourage them to believe the same. Well, I still feel the pain. Do you know what? I really think the Holy Spirit has done something. Just go home and thank the Lord. Scores of times they come back. Oh, you know what? I'm totally well. I was totally healed. Sometimes I don't even acknowledge God, frankly. which really bugs me, but never mind. You know, they say things like, well, yeah, I think it just got better in the week. No, it didn't get better in the week. You know, God touched you. Give him the glory, will you? But never mind. But perseverance does matter. You know, when Graham was first healed, saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, well, I was with him every day, and he was blind as a bat. I was, you know, registered, partially sighted. He had a phone with buttons. It's the biggest phone I've ever seen in my life. It had massive buttons. It was hilarious. He couldn't read the Bible. He couldn't see women, which was sad for him because he was looking for a wife. He'd often say to me, what does she look like over there? And I'd have to describe women. You know, she's pretty nice. Sorry. Well, don't my opinion. I go, well, get over it and have a look yourself. And we'd have to be going up to people like, you all right? I remember once being we were doing a testimony thing. I was preaching in this pub. He was piling his flip plate full of parsnips. He had parsnips up there. I thought, what's he doing? He said, man, they've got big chips in here, haven't they? And he poured the gravy all over them. And he kept pointing and said, Graham, the gravy was going all over the cabin. He was blind as a bat. He wasn't allowed to drive, obviously. But he's driving today. He's got perfect sight today. He's got 20/20 vision today. He doesn't make glasses, Graham. He can read normal print. He's totally healed. Took about a year. Every time there was a prayer time, Graham was at the front. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Any better, Graham? I don't know. I'm not so sure. Keep going. Keep going. Keep receiving prayer. Keep receiving prayer. You persevere. Persevere. God can be healing you and do it in his own time, his own way. He'll go with the measure of your faith. Well, he'll heal you with that measure. Well, great. Get that much healing then. And then your faith will grow. You've got a bit more. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. You don't give up. Lots of you know that story of me in Spain. With that guy, that was a massive eye-opener for me, who had the pot on his leg and all the rest, and, you know, one of the elders in the church, was in absolutely agony, done terrible ligament damage to his foot, a bit like Mark, you know, you see Mark, it's very, very, very painful, it's more painful than a break often, ligament damage, and it was ripped, and it was bad, and they said to him, you keep the pot on, you're off work for 2 months, they said, you keep your pot on for 2 months, pot off, but you're still off work for 2 months, it's 4 months, you're going to be off work, and he was healed that night. Boom. But I say boof, but that boof took about half an hour. It's pretty boofy though, isn't it? It's pretty quick, half an hour, when you think it's going to be 4 months or half an hour. It's a bit of a boof. It wasn't instant, but you know what? I learned a lesson that night, and it was only because I couldn't speak Spanish and I was tired and couldn't be bothered moving on with the interpreter. I said, I'll just stay with this guy and sort of do my fingers for him. You keep going over there, Jonathan, and I'll pray for this guy. I just stayed with him. I said, put some weight on it. Pain. I said, okay, we'll pray again. One more time. We prayed again. Lord, please heal him. I command the pain to go in the name of Jesus. Please heal him. Bless him, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Go, pain. Go. How's it? Put some weight on it. Oh, okay. Okay, we'll pray again. Six times, I never saw any response in him that he was healed. The seventh time, I only saw a tiny bit. Seventh time. Sorry, one more time. This is it. Honestly, I'm going to give you a break now. And I was finished. I said, look, just one more time. Put some weight on it. Prayed for him. Put some weight on it. A little bit. I thought, oh, that'll do. Shattered. I'm going home tomorrow. See ya. I went for a sit down. I sat down, looking at your Bible, watching Bob, thinking about texting Margaret. Next thing, I see this guy at the front with his pot on and his wife in his arms. Yay! On the stage, yay! Dancing, running around the building. Flipping heck, he's been completely healed. Totally. He was playing Tigs with his kids in the car park. Yay! He's a great laugh, this guy. He's playing Tigs with his kids, running around chasing them. Totally healed. It's awesome, isn't it? It's worth doing it, isn't it? It's worth keep going a bit. Sometimes you pray once. No, never mind. Now pray again. It said of Jesus in Mark 8:25. What a beautiful scripture. It says he prayed for a man once who was blind. It's a beautiful little insight because it gives us massive encouragement to keep praying. And he said to him, it's good because Jesus is the interview. He said, how are you seeing? How's it going? And he says, I can see men, but they look like trees walking. And it says that lovely little verse. So Jesus prayed again. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that verse. Well done. Who was it? Mark. God bless you, Mark. Thank you. It's an encouragement to us, isn't it? We think Jesus, every time he prayed for someone, it was instant. Apparently it wasn't. So Jesus prayed again. Hey, if he can do it twice, I can do it 22 times. Let's just keep going. Keep praying for people and see some miracles. Okay. Healing in the gospel, and I'll leave it with that, I think. Do you want to do 15 more minutes? Are you up for 15 minutes at 10 o'clock? Is that okay? Because there's three things, and I think one of them's really important. Oh, that sounds daft, doesn't it? Okay. Healing and... there's three things, and one of them's worth hearing. Healing in the gospel, Mark 16:20, is just this. And I'll just say it, but you know what? This is a trend, so I do want to say it. And that's this, that healing and the gospel go together. And frankly, I don't care which way they come, as long as they're together. But if they're not, I'm not impressed, and it's not biblical. And there's a huge trend at the moment in all and many of the charismatic circles and revival streams towards healing, signs and wonders, great mention of angels and many other things, and whoa, prophetic, is he saved? No. Did you share the gospel with him? No. But he's healed. Do you know what? I'm not that interested. We're not sent just to heal people. Never. We are sent to bring the gospel to people, and signs and wonders help us do it. Our purpose is to see the world saved, not only healed. Well, he might get saved later. Not good enough for me, because it's not in here. And there's a huge trend towards that, where you see, oh, I've watched whole videos of people. Yeah, I just want to show you, I'm going to heal this guy. Oh, this is quite impressive. Heals this guy, yeah. I'm healed, yeah. Just meets him in the street, yeah. Healed, yeah, praise God. Hey, the Lord loves you, yeah. Not good enough. Nowhere in the Bible do you see that. Nowhere in the New Testament church. They shared Jesus with them, salvation with them, the cross with them, forgiveness with them, they did. And if you just have healing, or put healing in the wrong place, it's like having the caravan in front of the car. Signs and wonders and miracles back the gospel, or sometimes go ahead of the gospel and prepare the way. That's fine. Sometimes they do. Sometimes you go in a classroom, heal someone, everyone listens to preach the gospel. Fine. Sometimes you preach the gospel, no one's quite sure. Then you heal someone. Whoa! Everyone responds. We've had that in Estonia several times. Carl's seen it. You know, you're preaching the gospel, sort of like you're breaking through a bit. Then, oh, hang on a minute. Let's just hold the preaching for a minute. Right, who here's ill? Who's in pain? Come here. Bang! Oh, tears. Oh, everyone's shocked. Woo! Faith. Preach the gospel. Big response. So signs and wonders go with the gospel. And outside of that, frankly, it's just Christian romanticism. And there's plenty of it around. Plenty. So, healing in Christians, I'll just say this. Have a look at Matthew 15:26 when you get a moment. But it just says that little bit about the woman comes to Jesus and says, you know, I want to be healed. And he says, no, I'm preaching to Israel. I'm called by the Father to speak to Israel. The time of the Gentiles hasn't come. You'll come later. But she just keeps bugging the apostles. And in the end, they go to her and say, Jesus, you won't leave us alone. Our daughter's possessed. She's from Syrophoenicia. She's not a Jew. But, you know, can you just bend it, type of thing? And he says to her, look. And he says to her, he's still going to say no. Amazing. Jesus is very obedient to his Father. No, I've only been called to the lost sheep of Israel. It's fascinating, really. I'm not doing anything God hasn't called me to do. With anybody, frankly. No, you'll have to wait, love. Sorry. And he says to her, it is not right to take the children's bread. It's an interesting phrase. The children's bread. That's signs and wonders and healing. Are you a child? So this is your bread then? It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. Not very polite, really. But she said, Lord, even the dogs get, you know, crumb under the table. And you're like, oh, got me. You know, woman, you have great faith. Go home, your daughter's delivered. And she's delivered at home. But, you know, you should just get going. That's how to get healing off Jesus. If you're not in the kingdom, you know, you badger him. We don't need to badger him. We're the children, aren't we? You've been adopted, haven't you? You're at the table. This is the children's bread. This is what Jesus serves you every day. Health, miracles, blessings, love, touches of the Holy Spirit, fillings of the Holy Spirit, visions, revelations, dreams. This is our bread. This is totally supernatural stuff. This is how we live. This is normal Christianity. Normal. So, and then the last one is this. Healing and deception. And just to say, obviously, there is healing out there that's not Christian. It's people claim to heal people in psychic fairs and things. And And you know what? And they can. You know, Exodus 7:22. I'll let you read it later. I'll give you the notes next week. Just says this. The magicians, you know, Moses was sent by God to do some signs and wonders. And it says the magicians could do the same. They could make some blood. They could turn a stick to snake. They could do create some gnats. They could do. And there came a level in the judgments where they couldn't do it. Can't remember which one it was now. But anyway, it was the boils or something. Where the Egyptians said to Pharaoh, oh, this is God. By our arts, we can't do this. But interesting that by their arts, they could do some. You know, they can, you know, through satanic power, people can heal and do miracles and things. It can happen, you know. Obviously, other things come in as well, and it's bad. But that's just it's important that, you know, you don't get into, be led astray into anything that's pseudo as well. You know, in fact, you know, and any extremes with it. I mean, I'll tell you where I am. Well, you probably know where I am. I think I'm pretty open to the Holy Spirit. I'm pretty open to what some people may call whack. I don't mind. If it's God and it's in the Bible, I'm up for it. As much supernatural stuff as possible, please. We need God as far as I'm concerned. However, if it isn't in the Bible and it hasn't got a purpose towards Jesus Christ, I seriously question it. You know, our Anna's just come back from a year in Sheffield. Really good church. Great church, you know. Towards the end of the last week, a few of them just went to this prophetic day with this woman. And she was just, I mean, to me, I think this is waxy. I think this is super spiritual, egoistic, rubbish, right? And I might not stand up in a meeting and say it, but it's only because I'm nice. And maybe I should if I was there. But she was saying to them, you know, I see, but not her accent, it's probably going to go somewhere. Oh no, isn't it? Anyway, should I see, you know, it was all about me. I've got a special gift. I'm a prophet. I'm on the Council of Prophets for Great Britain. Who were they like? Never heard of them. I'm on the Council of Prophets and I prophesy and I can see things. I can see people in this room who are cynical. Yeah, I know who you are. I won't point you out. But I know you're cynical. That's this massive control, that, isn't it? It's horrific. And she said, I see all sorts of angels everywhere. You know, I see angels. So just close your eyes and tell me where Jesus is in the room. Where is he in the room? I mean, it's pathetic, isn't it? What's the purpose? It's garbage. And put your hands up if you can't see where Jesus is in the room. Right, our team are going to come and pray for you. So you can see Jesus, where he is in the room. You know. And, right, what colours around him? Okay, what colours did you see? Pink. Pink's to do with femininity. So he's restoring your femininity. That's what he's saying to you. And, I mean, does anyone else think this sounds like a medium or something? Yeah. It's just pathetic. I'm sorry, it's got no purpose. It's aiming nowhere. It brings attention to the great prophet as though there's something other. Listen, Moses said, I wish all God's people were prophets. Joel said, all of them are going to be prophets when the Holy Spirit comes on them. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And the word also means preach, ladies, so that's cool, isn't it? Your sons and your daughters will preach. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young and old, maid and servant, whoever you are, you're going to be filled in prophecy. Anything that leads you to think this person has the awesome special gift of something is a bit, do you know what? It might not be deception, but it's super spiritual and unhelpful. And it can lead you to deception. So be careful of that. Don't believe everything you see on the God Channel. Just because someone's got a name, let me tell you something about the God Channel. It's a right mix between absolute rubbish and the best ministry around. So spit out the bones, won't you? If you want to move in supernatural things and not go shallow, because what happens is actually the Holy Spirit gets grieved and you see less. And it becomes more about you and you and you and you and you. You know, there was a famous prophetic ministry in the UK that had to repent in the end because You know, they'd been reading stuff on people's notice boards in the house and then prophesying it in the church, you know. I mean, it's sad, isn't it? What gets a person to there? Well, I'll tell you, it's when it's all about them. And they just want to be that little bit more impressive and have a little word of knowledge, you know. And she was prophesying things like, you know, 3 years ago you had a bill that you couldn't pay and, or something like that. And then, you know, at the end of the meeting they said, oh, actually that was 6 years ago. You read that on our notice board. Oops. You know, it doesn't mean actually we paid it. It's done. So it's like exposed and embarrassment. You know what? It's not impossible to get there. Be spiritual, but not super spiritual. Stay with the Bible. Be humble and be real. But if you don't know something, that's all right. If someone doesn't get healed, it's not your problem. You're not the healer. Reinhard Bonnke said, if I pray for 10 people and 10 of them are not healed, I pray for number 11 as though all 10 were wonderfully healed. Because actually, it's nothing to do with us. If your ego is detached from it, well, it's no problem, is it? But if it's about you a bit, then we stumble in it. Anyway, enough for tonight. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Please teach us to move in you, to move in faith, to be balanced, to be biblical, and to be absolutely open to your fire and power. Lord Jesus, bless us. Amen. Amen.